And the basic question we're going to take up is whether the bracha of rachim, the third bracha in Birkas Hamazon, has to be changed on Shabbos. Essentially, because of the problem of she'elas trachav. That's clear. And the Rif maintains that the Gemara must be taken literally. That when it says maschal b'nechama, u'masayim b'nechama, it means to say that on Shabbos you have to use a different nusach, a nusach of nachim, as opposed to the one of rachim. And as the Rashba explains, and everybody explains, it's rooted in the problem of she'elas trachav. That you're not allowed to make petitions on Shabbos. And the other Rishonim, such as Rashi and Tosfos, Rashba, maintain that that's not the case, that this would not be a violation. Essentially, the essential reason is because of the idea that Tofes Brachas, that he's basically reciting the form of the Bracha. And aside from the fact that this is a secondary point that Tosis mentions, others mention, aside from the fact that if you're going to argue like the Rif, Nachim, as far as they're concerned, Nachim is also a request. So that's a secondary reason that they don't see any benefit. They don't. So what's the gain? If that's your problem, so what have you gained by Nachim? That's a secondary kind of a problem. But the more basic reason is that there's no reason to make that change because there's nothing wrong with Rachim. Because in saying so, you're not in violation of the issue of She'elas Trachav. And a proof, a support, it's not a proof actually, it's a support. As the Rabbeinu Yonah mentions it, Ktsa Siyua, the support is from the Yerushalmi itself, which raises the question with regard to Zuneinu, Parnaseinu, Chalkaleinu, which are expressions of request, which seem to be anyways, on the surface, it seems to be you're asking God for Parnasa, for food, sustenance, and that's said inside of the third bracha. And the answer to that is that it's the Tofes brachas. That he's just saying the matbeah, that's the matbeah of the bracha. So if it's the matbeah of the bracha, it's not a problem. That itself has to be understood. At first glance, it doesn't seem to be an answer. What kind of an answer is that? That's the what do I care? Of course that's the matbeah. That's what we're asking. How can you have a matbeah like that? That's exactly what we're asking. But nevertheless, that's the answer that's given. If you accept that answer, so then it would seem to solve the entire problem. That's a very big point. Whether we understand it or don't understand it at this point in time, but that's a very big foundation. So now you're saying, because once you have this idea of Tofes Brachos, you could say Zuneinu, Parnaseinu, and you're not in violation of She'elas Trachav. Well, if that's the case, so then what's the problem with Rachim? So then you can do Rachim. That's the Machlokas. So now, let's see if we can gain an understanding of what's going on over here. Basically, let's understand the position of Tosfos, what Tosfos means. Because Tosfos starts out with a problem, there's a problem. For starters, everybody has to acknowledge the problem. That when you come to Rachim, you're involved in the issue of Al Yishol Adam Tzrachav. So Tosfos says it's not a problem, we have to understand his answer. Then, of course, we have to turn to the Rif and work out the problem as far as the Rif is concerned. Why the Rif differs, why the Rif holds it is a problem, but then there's sort of an internal, what might appear to be ambivalence or contradiction in the Rif. That if the Rif is machmid in terms of changing Nachmenu, so what about Re'enu, Zuneinu, Parnaseinu? Before we explain Tosfos, we have to deal with the general issue of Tefillah on Shabbos. Because we do not say the Tefillah of Chol on Shabbos. Because that's She'elas Trachav. But now the question is, do we make requests on Shabbos? What is the nature of the Tefillah of Shabbos? Does it include any type of requests? The Tefillah of Shabbos is 7 brachos. Because you don't have the intermediary 13 petitions. So the first 3 and the last 3 are always the same in every tefillah. But the middle, on Shabbos, you just have 1 middle bracha. And what's the character of the bracha? The character of the bracha is, if you were to refer to it by name, it's called Kedushas Hayom, the holiness of the day. So it has a certain form. For example, on Ma'ariv, Ata Kidashta Es Yom HaShviyi L'Shmecha, the fact that God sanctified the seventh day for His name's sake. Tachlis Mashish Mayim V'Aretz, the ultimate objective of the creation. And then you cite the verse from the Torah, Vayechulu. That's the format. You're going to have that format in every tefillah. First the declaration of the sanctification of the day, then the source in the Torah. But then, the third paragraph, after you said Vayechulu, what do you say next? They say, Elokeinu Elokei Aseinu Ritzei V'Mnuchaseinu, that God should find favor with our rest. Kachenu B'Mitzvosecha, V'Seinu Chalkenu V'Mitzvosecha, Sadeinu Mituvecha, satisfy us from your goodness. V'Samcheinu B'Shuasecha, and cause us to rejoice in your salvation. V'Tar Libeinu Liyavtcha B'Emes, V'Anchilenu Hashem Elokeinu B'Yavu Ratan Shavuz Kodshecha. So it does seem to be a request. It's a request that God should favor us. And specifically, that we should be able to achieve the menucha, the rest. We should be able to rest. It's not just a matter of physical rest. It's the whole concept that's implied by it. So it does seem the last paragraph, seems to be making some kind of a request. The middle bracha, Kedusha Yom of Shacharis, emphasizes the fact that Shabbos is a matana, a gift that God granted to the Jewish people. It starts off with Yismach Moshe, B'matnas Chelko. And then it cites the Pasuk. Then it's V'lonasato L'goy Haratos, that God did not give the Shabbos to the nations of the world. That is to say that only L'zer Yaakov Asher Bam Bacharta, Am Mekadshei Shvi. That's a different aspect, that Shabbos is a tremendous gift, and it's not for anyone. It's only for a specific type of a people. And it's contingent upon the fact that God chose Bnei Israel. So we have to have, that's a different aspect, a different recognition. And in the first, and in my view, talking about Shabbos purely from the standpoint of God and creation. Here we're talking from the standpoint of the benefit to us. That we are the ones who are permitted to partake of the Shabbos. And then again, Elokeinu, but you see the ending, the third paragraph is the same. So that's the format of the middle bracha, which is called Kedushas Hayom, to single out an aspect of the sanctity of the Shabbos, quote the relevant verses, and conclude with the prayer, which is the prayer, that we should partake, that we should that should be acceptable before, our menucha should be acceptable before God, and we should be able to partake of the real menucha of Shabbos. The answer is, as is being suggested in my opinion, that we have to understand what we mean about She'ela Strachem on Shabbos. We're talking about certain types of needs, weekday needs, needs that are your weekday agenda, so to speak. Each person has his agenda. Now, Shabbos, you have tefillah. So the idea of tefillah really is to come before the Creator. That's the way we went through the Rambam, the Rambam's description of tefillah. The essence of tefillah is the fact that he praises God and he petitions. And he says that's when we did the Rambam, because we did it in one of the Rishonim, we went to the idea that tefillah doesn't have a nusach from the Torah, as opposed to Birkas HaMazon, that the nusach is incorporated, so to speak, in the Torah. But the Rambam described it as that he's mischanein, that he's mispalel mischanein. He praises God, and he's mischanein. So that's part of the very definition of tefillah, that a person is omed lifnei Hashem. The amid lifnei Hashem has to do with the fact that the person enters into the presence of God for the sake of petitioning God. And it seems to me that idea is essential. Anything less than that, then he's not an omid lefnei Hashem. I mean, for example, it's a very significant thing. That's the yesod of tefillah. Omid l'fnei Hashem. All the halachas of tefillah are based upon that. Halachas about how you have to compose yourself, even to dress, and that you can't drink before that, and so forth. Which the standards are different, for example, in reciting a bracha or birkas hamazon or even kriyas shema with regard to a person who's had a few drinks. The standards are much more demanding in tefillah because he's omid l'fnei Hamelach. So that's a different phenomenon. But what is essential is that there is a petition. So when we say on Shabbos that there's a al yishal tzrachav, but that doesn't mean to say that the tefillah is going to change in the sense that there is a petition. But it means to say that the entire purpose of the tefillah on Shabbos, it's a keem in the kedusha yom of Shabbos. The tefillah of Shabbos is not just the halacha that a guy has to daven every day. That's one way of looking at it. And on Shabbos he has to daven too. So he has to make some changes. It's not the changes here are not an avoidance, because if he doesn't make the changes, he'll have a problem of an iser of Sheol Strachav. No! The tefillah on Shabbos is part of the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. That's one of the ways in which he fulfills the requirements of the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. So there's no violation of Shelas Tzrachav, insofar as those needs are different kinds of needs. Insofar as those needs are part of your experience of Kedushas Hayom, they're Akim and Kedushas Hayom, they're wholly appropriate. Those are different needs. So it's not just saying that, obviously, it's not saying that you have to dispense with needs. Yeah, but this need is Akim and Kedushas Hayom. Interestingly enough, in conjunction with this idea that the tefillah on Shabbos is not just a separate from the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, but it's a key in the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, I'm just going to mention an idea from Rabbi Chaik years ago. And it has to be clarified if I'm remembering it exactly correctly. So I'm just putting it out in that sense, because I think it's relevant over here, and you could check to see if this is exactly what he said, because I don't remember the exact, but I just remember the general point is that a number of years ago he said that a person during the week, there's a certain dress code, so to speak, for tefillah. A person has to dress appropriately for tefillah. Alright, so it's not maximal, it's not like you have to wear a suit and a tie. Although the idea is brought down that one should be cognizant, you're standing in front of a king. We're kind of lenient today. The whole issue of whether you can wear shorts, whether you can daven in shorts. So this is an issue, it's a question. Based upon the idea that anything, any type of dress, which a person would not go in front of a king, would be inappropriate. Let's say, basically, we're talking about a bathing suit or something like that. Or let's say we're talking about boxer shorts, type of underwear. Which would be fine. A person could say Kriyas Shema on that, because it basically is Kisei Erva. As long as you have Kisei Erva, so then you could say Brachos. You could say Birkas HaMazon. Because that's not defined as Omid L'Fnei HaMelech. But could a person get up and daven with his boxer shorts? So then you'd have a very serious problem. Or barefoot. Barefoot. Barefoot is not a problem for Birkas HaMazon. But you have the issue of Omid L'Fnei HaMelech. So now you can't do that. However, the issue of, let's say, the shorts, different kinds of shorts, the shorts that people wear in the street today, in the summertime. What about that? Are you allowed to daven with those kinds of shorts? Or even with sweats, with sweatpants? The only basis of saying that it's permitted is to say that this goes by the standards of the times. In ancient times, the requirements of awe and respect in front of a ruler were much more formalized, that a person would not go in front of a king in a casual dress. But today, where it's democratic and it's informal, whatever, so one would go. For example, say President Bush in the summer, if he went to the ranch, so then it would be acceptable. You could go in front of him in shorts. So you could argue that the standards have changed, and that this goes by the standards. However, whatever the standards are, I'm not posketing on this. I'm just explaining what the issues are. But that's all for chol during the week. But if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Chaid made the point that on Shabbos, one is not permitted to daven in ordinary clothing. Clothing that would be acceptable for the weekday. If clothing that would be acceptable for the weekday, one would not be permitted to daven on Shabbos. Apart from the issue of that on Shabbos you have a chiyuv, because of Kavod Shabbos, to change your garb. The person has to dress up for the Shabbos. The person that would that goes spends the whole day of Shabbos in ordinary clothing, that's a serious breach in Kavod Shabbos. That you're supposed to change your malbushim to, of course, change for the better, and to respect, out of respect for the day. But aside from that, let's assume that for whatever reason, you know, you're not feeling well, you're in your... you came home, you took off your suit, and you just want to relax a little bit, then whatever the case may be. So we're not talking here from the standpoint of a violation of Kavod Shabbos. But then you want to daven, let's say you're davening at home. So he made the point that in the tefillah of Shabbos, you're mechuyev to wear big day Shabbos. Because since the tefillah is a kiyum in the Kedushas Hayom, so then a person has to be expressing the Kedushas Hayom in terms of his begadim.